I am Jess, and I am a grateful, surrendered alcoholic. And heartfelt congratulations to all the new people, to all the day counters. And if you're still behind a black screen and you have a glass in your hand, I implore you to go dump it in the sink, as we are all here with you to do it with you. You don't have to take another sip from this day, this moment on. I am Jess, and I am a grateful surrendered alcoholic. And thank you for asking me to come in and share my experience, strength, and hope. When I came in here, faith for me, right today, faith for me stands for fully allow it to happen. That it today is my God. But when I came in here, fully allow it to happen was Jess, right? Fully allow Jess to happen because Jess knew best. You couldn't tell me anything. I came from a house of atheists. They told me that God was just something made up so that people would have something to believe in. Now, mind you, these are also my very abusive adoptive parents. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that I get to be here. In the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 63, we get the third step promises. And it said we had a new employer. But guess what? I'm not the boss. No matter how much I pay the cost, I don't give you the boss today, right? And I did pay the cost. PAID, paid, pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I was the poster child. And being all powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. But what work he's talking about, Jess? He's talking about step one, surrendering to the idea that my life is unmanageable, that I am an alcoholic, right? Step two, allowing God to give me my sanity back. Because if I'm insane, which insane means doing the same thing over and over and thinking I'm going to get a different result. So if my thinking is still in insanity and it's not sane, which in the 12 and 12 says sane is soundness of mind. So if I don't have soundness of mind, then guess what's in my mind? Because my disease is centered in my think. It's loudness of my disease. See, I'm an alcoholic. So just because you take the alcohol away from me, I still have the ick. And that ick is my thinking, right? It tells me that established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. It doesn't matter what I want to do today. It doesn't matter when I woke up one morning and I went to the my plan was to go to the doctor. Get my test results, go to Denny's with my husband, come home, sit with my dogs, and watch TV. My plan. But God's plan was I went to the doctor. I sat down with the doctor. They told me I had cancer. They told me I had five autoimmune diseases and that I would be in chronic pain for the rest of my life. And I still went to Denny's and I still came home. And I still sat with my dogs and I got on a meeting instead of getting on the TV because this is what I have a new employer. My employer is found all throughout this book. My employer is not found on Netflix or what's the other one I watch? There's another one that out YouTube. It's not found on YouTube videos, right? It's found in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's found in the 12 and 12. It says that as we felt new power flow in, which means that I'm letting God in now. As we enjoy peace of mind, that's that sanity. So God gave it back to me in two, and now I get to enjoy it. I get to be able to enjoy my disease not running through my head 24/7. As we become conscious of His presence, we begin to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, the hereafter. I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. Nonetheless, tomorrow, and my sponsor always told me if I'm in yesterday, then I'm still allowing myself to be victimized by the people that made me a victim. If I'm in tomorrow, then I'm in fear. I just need to be here, right now, at this moment. And I, you know, the good thing about it is, newcomers, every second of every day, I get to restart my day. So if I goofed up a second ago and a cuss word flies out of my mouth, which I try my very best not to do anymore, if a cuss word flies, I get the next second to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, and it says, we were reborn. Well, how were we reborn, Jess? We were reborn because I offered myself to God to build with me and do with me as God would, relieving me of the bondage of self, that I may better do God's will, not Jess's will, not waking up saying, okay, I'm going to be doing Jess's will today. Because when I'm doing Jess's will, I'm self-will run riot. That means I'm supposed to be in the caboose of the train asking all you guys, come on aboard, right? No, I'm in the front of the train pushing buttons. I have no idea what they do or what's going to happen when I push it. And we are all going to be derailed off that train track. So I think we all would be happy to say, Jess, let's all be in the caboose. You know, and it says, take away my difficulties. Right. What are Jess's difficulties today? Jess's difficulties look like basic human stuff. It looks like showering. It looks like getting out of bed. It looks like walking my dogs. It's like cooking a meal, mopping the floor, right? Those are my difficulties today. So what do I do? I don't get up in the morning and I wake up and I say, oh, I don't feel today. It's going to be a crap day. Let me just throw the blanket back over my head. Screw it. No. I wake up in the morning and I know how I feel when I get up, and I tell God, God, thank you for another day. Get in my head before I do. Because I know when I get in Jess's head, it's Jess's will throughout the rest of the day. And everything's going to piss me off like I've been pissed on, even if I had it, right? And, you know, I'll tell you, even if I don't feel like if my body's aching in it, which most of the time it is, you know, even if I'm hurting and I don't feel like it, I put on my little fuzzy socks, I slide across the kitchen floor, I grab a hold of one of those big stirring spoons, and I sing at the top of my lungs until my neighbor bangs on the door and tells me to shut up. You know, because I have to do that. If not, then my lower power creeps in. And when my lower power steps in, I'm back on page 62 that says I'm in selfishness, self-centeredness. That is the root of my troubles. I'm driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. And I start to step on the toes of my fellows and they retaliate. Hurt people, hurt people. I get to take that shackle off my foot today, and I get to break that chain of hurting people today. I was hurt as a child. I'm a survivor of incest. I am a survivor of human trafficking. I am a survivor of prison. I am a survivor of abuse, unfathomable abuse that you couldn't even think of. I raised myself on the streets since I was 13 years old until I met my now husband, who's sitting beside me, non-alcoholic, and supporting me. He's like, oh God, we got to hear this again. No, he's not. He's a good fellow. 29 years. I've been married with him 29 years, and I have 2 years of sobriety. So you just imagine what I put this poor fellow through and all the times I stepped on his toes. Because my very first sponsor, God rest her soul, Sandy B, right? She told me when a negative thought comes to my head, I verbalize it positive. So if I wake up and I say, oh, I feel like crap, it's gonna be a crap day in my head. I say, you know what? I might not feel the best. I say out loud, I might not feel the best, but I'm gonna make the best of today, regardless of how I feel. You know, I used to think, you know, God, how can I do your will if I'm stuck in a bed? How can I do my job, which I am a 911 dispatcher for domestic violence. I work with the domestic abuse response team. So when they get a call, I get the call and I get in the back of the police car voluntarily now without my fancy bracelets. And I go to the hospital to advocate for the victim, right? And I thought, now that I have multiple sclerosis, now that I have lupus, now that I have myositis, now that I have rheumatoid arthritis, now that I have bone marrow cancer, now that I have I have Addison's disease, and it's most times my blood sugar's all over the place, and I can't I feel like I can't be a maximum service to my God. And guess what the very beginning of this book tells us, way before Bill and Bob and the first 100 people ever met us, it's going to be modem to modem. God had a plan before I was even born. I wasn't born till 1977. Oh crap, I just told my age. But I wasn't born till 1977, man. This book was born in the 1939s, way before me. Right? God had a plan for me. I still do 911 dispatch here on my Zoom. I still work with clients in the hospital. I don't get a ride in little fancy cars, you know? And it says to me, why am I asking God to take away my difficulties so that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life? May I do thy will always. I don't conquer these things so I can pat myself on the back and say, way to go, Jess. I conquer them so that through me, through every day that I show up, and I don't tell you what I go through and my pains and my illnesses so that you can say, oh, poor Jess. No, because then it's poor me, poor me, pour me another drink, and I don't want that drink. No, thank you. It's to let the newcomer with one day, with 0 days, with the one behind the screen that is still drinking out of that cup. Or if you're like me, straight out the bottle, because I didn't understand cups and fancy little umbrellas. If it wasn't edible, don't give it to me. Decorate it. Oh, no, I'm good. Hand me the bottle. It's to show the fellow behind me that if I can show up no matter what I'm going through, that I could take a drink every minute of this day, and so can you. That you can do it too, right here, this second, this very second. You don't have to take a drink the next second, the next second, the next second. And if you're struggling with just for today, tell yourself the drink will be there tomorrow. I don't like to say, some people say, tell yourself, I'll drink tomorrow. No. Don't tell yourself that because that's a reservation to go back out. Tell yourself the drink will be there tomorrow because the drink is always going to be there. That doesn't mean I got to pick it up. You will see it on billboards. You will see it when you're watching TV. You will see it everywhere in the magazine, in the newspaper. The drink will always be there, but you do not have to pick it up. And if you can only say today, the drink will be there tomorrow. And not pick up today, and tomorrow you do the same exact thing, and you're a winner in my book. You're a winner in my book just for sitting here, right now. I'm gonna tell you a short story for the newcomer. When I was doing my chemo, there was this child that was in a room. Well, he was a teenager. I think he was about 13, 14 years old. And he was in the room about 4 doors down. And every time I left chemo, I would go by and I would see him. And I'd see him with tubes in him. And all these tubes running through him. His heart was on a monitor, a beep, beep, beep. His mother was praying beside his bedside. And I used to think something in my spirit stirred. See, when I got a God of my understanding, God began to live inside of me. And so that same atheist that came in here and thought there is no God started out with G-O-D, great outdoors. I now have a God of my understanding that I talk to on a daily basis. And some days it's like, okay, God, what are we going to do today? And then other times, 5 minutes later, it might be like, really, God, this is what you chose? And so I have, it's not a religion. It's not, and it is spiritual for me, but it is a relationship with my God. My God is my BFF. My God is my everything to me. And so I was walking by, and something in my spirit was like, talk to this woman, ask her, is she okay? Does she want prayer? Me coming from, I always say, from pumps to the podium, right? I minister today, so from pumps to the podium. In other words, you can figure it out. I don't have to spell it out for you. Someone who never prayed before, now I pray for everybody. And whenever whenever my spirit moves, I move with it. And so one day I was coming out, and I went, and then I walked it. I said, "May I come in?" And she kind of looked up at me, and she just nodded quietly. She never said a word. And I put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, "Can I pray over you?" And she said, "Yes." Now she speaks Spanish. I don't know what any. The only thing I know in Spanish is the months, the days. I could speak up to 10, and I could say 100. And I know all the bad words. And so I had no idea, but I do know the language of the heart. And she took my hand, and she put it on her son's hand, and I knew she wanted me to pray with him too. And I did. And then when I left, I came back. And when I came back the next day from my treatment, there was a lady with her. And I said, "Can I come in?" And she spoke English. She said, "Yes, you can come in." And I said, "Oh," I said, "your mom's been talking, and I have no idea what she's saying. I just nod." And she says, "Oh, yeah. And this is my brother in the bed." And I said, "What happened?" And she said they were at school, and they were passing a bottle of alcohol around, and somebody slipped some fentanyl in it, and that the fentanyl was eating away his brain. And I got to pray with her every day that she was there, and I got to walk with her daughter's hand in mine, and her hand in mine, and our hands in God's hand, as he was wheeled out that room to be taken to the morgue. So if you're new here and you have a boop boop of a heart, please don't let your mother or your grandmother, or as I know, a sister now means abuela, don't let your family be kneeling beside you, listening to the beep beep of a machine and
Two
having to
minutes,
look at
one.
you in a morgue. Thank you. If nobody has told you today, you are loved, you are needed, you are worthy, you are forgiven, you are ordained to a destination that only you and God know. I'm proud of each and every one of you. Even if you still have a glass in hand, I'm proud of you because you're here. Even behind a black screen, you're here. And that means that you have done step one, and you are surrendering to the idea that you could be an alcoholic. All you got to do is just put the glass down and never have to pick it up again. With 56 seconds, I'm going to tell you. I put my hand up like this on a screen, not to give you dabs for the youngsters in the group, but so that I could pass you a torch. And you have a choice with these last few seconds that I'm about to share. You could take this torch and keep it in your hand. But the big book says you stand at a turning point. And at that turning point, you have to make a decision. You can put down the torch and pick up a drink, a bottle, or whatever. But if you put that torch down, not only you, but all the people behind you that are lost in the darkness, that are following your light, will be in the dark. So I ask you, please keep the torch in hand. I'm going to keep coming back, and I hope you do too. Thank you for letting me share.